Randy Macho Man Savage is in the studio with us and you. And Randy, you take a look at your career, and I mentioned that you started back in the mid-70s, but those Jerry Lawler brawls that you had are really, most people will tell you, will say that that's kind of what ignited your career. Indeed, what was the history of that feud between you two guys?
Oh, you got the homework down. Know more about me than I do. That was when wrestling was territorial. And that was like, there's no way to explain Memphis and Nashville and Kentucky and that area. Boy, it was knockdown, dragout. You know, that's what the people wanted at the time, and that's what they got. And we had some good feuds over there. And remember, that was the first time anybody put somebody through a table. I brought Ricky Morton on top of a big wooden table, such as the one we're talking on right now, and gave him a pile driver on it. And I had no idea in the world that it was going to bust it. You know what I mean? We went all the way down to the ground. I thought I broke his neck, you know, but it was craziness back then, you know, just completely nuts.
How does somebody overcome the natural urges not to hurt somebody? I mean, you got to be able to turn it on. I know football players, when they go onto the football field, they become aggressive, and when they come off, they've got to turn it off. I mean, how do you guys get in the ring and do that?
That's a fine line, and people that can't turn it off, people will show them how to turn them off by roughing them up. You know what I mean? Because you just can't go around doing that at all. It's called a common respect for the other person. It's a fine line between making it look good with the people and hurting your opponent, because the opponent is trusting you in a certain situation where it's a high-risk move. And if somebody is taking advantage and not protecting you as much as they should, that's when it gets a little crazy in there. That's when somebody has to go to school and learn the hard way that maybe that person should take better care of you. And that means by getting slapped or punched back, or it's a wake-up call for the other guy. But pretty soon you kind of get it. The old-timer will kind of show the young guy, okay, that was not cool. You know, I got to live. I have a wife and I got kids too, and I'm trying to make it to the next town, you know, so you're not going to use me as a stepping stone or a welcome mat. You know, you have to take care of my body.
Randy, how long does it take you to get to that point where you put out of your mind the fear factor, like the race draw car driver does, of the fact that he may crash and may get killed, or the football player who goes out there and realizes that he's got to go out there and mow somebody down, but he's got to do it in the right way? How long did that take you to get there?
Yeah, you never really get there. You kind of learn what you have to do. And when you make mistakes, that's part of your feedback. But at the same time, if you think about it while you're doing it, you're not going to get it done correctly. You got to let it fly. When the red light comes on, you got to rock with it. You know what I mean? And if you haven't learned it up till then, well, then you're going to make a mistake in there. And then somebody's going to correct you, you know what I mean? And you're going to feel the pain, but you can just gather that information, and hopefully the next time when you go out there, you won't make that same mistake again. But you cannot be tentative when you go out there. When that red light goes on and the people are in the arena, the worst thing that you can be is too careful with your opponent too, because then you're going to hurt them too, and it's not going to be a good show.
Is the art form aspect of professional wrestling, has that been lost a little bit with the theatrics of what we see today?
A little bit, you know what I mean? And that's, a lot of the old timers are saying that, but I like to adapt to change, and I don't want to be one of those guys that say that the art form is completely to the side, you know, because with saying that comes a little bitterness that you're not involved at the particular time that things are going on. So I don't really believe that that's true. But at the same time, the theatrics is a very important part of wrestling. When people say that they didn't have as much theatrics back in the old days, but it was still theatrics. Okay, you know, more music now, more costumes now, but still there were theatrics. So it's not different than it was in the old days. It was just bringing it to a different level. As far as wrestling in the ring, it's still the same. You could still master the art of wrestling in the ring. You know, tremendous moves. People are always up trying to outdo each other in different, you know, like, you know, I hate to use this analogy, but Bob Cousy rocked when he played basketball, but I don't see a place for him nowadays. You know what I mean? And that's kind of sad, because that doesn't mean Bob Cousy, you know, wasn't a great basketball player. It's just that the game of basketball has drastically changed, and so has wrestling.
I asked that same question of Bret Hart. I asked him if whether wrestling as an art form had died a little bit. Here's what he told me.
There's little or no skill in the ability the wrestlers have today. And I watch them, you know, I watch these wrestlers today getting ready for the matches, and they go in the shower room, and they're in there twirling around, and it's like a it looks like a really poorly rehearsed ballet, and that's what it is. And it's like in the old days, you know, a year or two or three. I think in that documentary, we spoke a little bit about it a few minutes ago, but that documentary captures the death of professional wrestling as I knew it, and I think as people like Bruno Sammartino knew it, and maybe they'll say that it's been dying for years. But I really think you can put the tombstone on professional wrestling as an art form or as a real skill a few years ago, and what it is today is really more like stunt work or gymnastics or a little bit of both or disco dancing or maybe all of them combined with a little smut. But the art of pro wrestling is non-existent.
It's kind of interesting because the Hart family, certainly synonymous with wrestling.
Absolutely.
Many have been involved with it. Your family coming from the same direction. Do you see where he's coming from? Would you agree with what Bret
said? I love Bret Hart, and I got an ultimate respect for Bret Hart, and his career speaks for itself. But I almost disagree with him 100% there, because these guys, you can only try 100%, and these guys are trying 100%. You can't try 110%. You can't measure that. I do believe in one thing, that once you do a fantastic maneuver, they should make more of it than just going on to the next move. Then that's called selling, okay? And I think maybe a little bit of that has been lost. And I'll give Bret his props for that. You know what I mean? But I'm still thinking that these guys, you know, with what they've been given, the risks that they've been given, like ladder matches and, you know, scaffold matches and whatever they're, you know, what they're mm-hmm. doing there, I cannot just sit there and watch them and say that it's less of an art than it was when I was wrestling, because I know what it is to prepare for a match and go on out there. They're giving it 100%. So, you know, I don't want Bret to be like Bruno, who did very well for himself and became a millionaire. And, you know, there's no one way to wrestle. There's no book on wrestling. And if there was, Bruno Sammartino didn't write it, Bret Hart didn't write it, and the Macho Man Randy Savage didn't write it. And my dad didn't write it, who I love to death. You know what I mean? And he's my idol. But he told me a long time ago when I first got in the business, he says, I'm going to show you how to wrestle, but that doesn't mean that everything that I'm telling you is the way you're going to end up, because I want you to watch everybody. I want you to be creative on your own and adapt to change. Very important, adapt to change. And that's a good rule for everybody in any line of work.
Is that adaptation, Randy, the fact that the storyline and the theatrics have taken precedent over the wrestling itself then?
Yes and no. You know, because it definitely has taken precedent over the wrestling, but you're still selling wrestling. There's still a ring out there. And when the music stops and the costumes are set aside and the storyline, the bell is rung, you still have the wrestling, and they still have to carry on the story, and the story is you versus the other guy. So there's still a place for that art form wrestling, and I disagree with Bret, respectfully.
Yeah. We only got about 30 seconds before we have to break. Is there anything about your profession that you're concerned about then?
Not really. It's just that I just hope that everybody just realizes that it's a beautiful sport or beautiful entertainment, and just let the fans appreciate it for what it is, and the wrestlers enjoy the process as you go along and save your money, because it doesn't last forever. And when it's time to pass the torch on to the younger guys, don't pass a torch that somebody can't hold or one that's not lit.
Is it hard to walk away from this sport?
Not at all.
Not all?
I love it. I love it. You know what I mean? Because I'm still a part of it, because I still watch it. I was a fan of wrestling, you know, at the very beginning, and I still am now.
Randy Macho Man Savage is with us and you, and as I indicated, he's involved with something with Slim Jim. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break, and we'll continue talking about his career. Very involved with Hulk Hogan, and so we'll talk about that relationship, the love-hate relationship he had with him, as we continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.